This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Mr. 305, Flow Rider and Lunch Money. Three Miami boys, you know what time it is.
Give me the green light, cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time. What you waiting for? You only got one life. And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light. Cause I'm ready to go.
Welcome to the Row 1 Seat 1 podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. We have a bit of a different show this week. This is going to be the football episode. We have my best friend Seth is on this week. We're going to be talking the Florida-Miami game that is coming up this Saturday. I am the biggest Florida Gator fan on the planet, and he is a Miami native and a diehard Miami Hurricane fan. So we'll be having him on first, a good little 20-minute segment there to just talk about, talk shit about Florida and Miami. And then he'll talk about the Miami Dolphins a little bit. And then later on, we will have Steve. Some of you know Steve from SCI, Gent on Wheels. We'll be talking about the New England Patriots. My favorite football team. So this is in my wheelhouse. We'll be talking a little bit of football. Football season's coming up. I'm going to have a few people on over the next few weeks talking about their favorite football teams. And if you want to talk about your favorite football team, reach out to me on Twitter. I'd love to have you on in a nice little segment or so talking about your favorite football team. Talk some shit. Talk about your history as a football fan of your favorite team. Love to have you on just to lament or celebrate your favorite team. Because football season's coming up soon, and week zero of the college football season is this Saturday with my Florida Gators. But first, let's just talk about Place to Be Nation. The hard-traveling fanboys go off the page with a look at AMC's Preacher Season 2, Episode 1. Did it improve over Season 1? Do they think they'll actually get caught up in the show now? And Greg actually read a whole comic book published in 2019. Russell and Todd talk about the classic issue Justice League of America 200 in a brand new DC4U. How does it hold up today after Snapper Carr annoyed them more of Rick Jones as a Marvel age? Listen to find out. On the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy is joined by Cowboy Roger Morissette, Scott Priscolo, and Peter Winston to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season, as well as look back and analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and NHL. Pop Goes the Movies, when Andy and J. Arsenio D'Amato get together to discuss the latest major summer movie release, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and a spoiler-filled review. On a new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Haleen discuss their personal Desert Island discs. JT joins Andy to talk about Kevin Smith's Dogma and the latest and greatest edition of Laugh-In Theater. The greatest song of the 80s tournament continues. There'll be six posts a day posted for round two. You can end the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. On the wrestling feed, Talking WCW is back with Greg, Tim, and Jenny discussing a trifecta of matches featuring Rey Mysterio. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott welcome Matt Sousa to the Mothership for the first time to discuss the November 25th, 89 MSG House Show. Matt Griffin stopped by to talk to me on episode 17 of Row 1, Seat 1. On episode 3 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, Mono, and Jenny run down the entire month of ECW Hardcore TV following the night the line was crossed. On episode 7 of You Don't Belly Jack, Drew introduces Jordan to Cerruto vs. Tenryu from 6589. On PlaceToBeNation.com, Tribute to 94 continues to roll on with lots of great content. The Draft War crew is back with the Draft of SummerSlam matches. Read the recap and cast your vote on who had the best draft. Every Wednesday on PlaceToBeNation.com, we get the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web and Glenn's Weekly Walk. Check out our social media pages and message board at BigLow34.ProBoards.com for information on joining the GWB, PPV, and TV Match Ever Project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your lists. The reason I have my first guest on here, we're going to talk a little bit. I went to the New England Patriots versus Tennessee Titans preseason game. It is NFL season, folks. It is football season. God bless. Our long national nightmare is over. And I have Gent on Wheels. Some of you know him as Steve. Some of you guys went to SCI. He is a fine gentleman. Steve, welcome to the show. We're going to talk some New England Patriots football, brother.
Thank you. I am absolutely thrilled to be here. And I'm thrilled for football season to start, and I'm really upset that I didn't get to go to that action show being up here in New Jersey, because it really looked like it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a blast. And go out of your way to watch it, man, because it's going to be it's going to be one of those shows that's going to get some buzz around the internet when people just get a chance to see it on IWTV, because it's just going to be there's not a bad show. There's not a bad match on the card. There really isn't. It's just boom, 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 boom. Just great match after great match. But you, sir, even though you're in Jersey, you are a longtime, lifetime New England Patriots fan, are you not?
I was about 5 or 6 years old when I started playing in this, like, it wasn't Special Olympics, but it was like a precursor to the Special Olympics. It was a baseball kind of thing. And each kid got assigned like a mentor of sorts. And his family is from, I think, Massachusetts. I don't know exactly where, but they're all Patriots fans, and he was too. I didn't really have a team yet. Mostly everybody around here are Eagles fans. I didn't really catch on, and he kind of brainwashed, pushed me towards the Patriots, however you want to say it. And it's just that's just been my team ever since.
That's real cool. That's real cool. Yeah, I've as you know, obviously my Twitter handle is Boston Nuga. People who know me, I'm from the Boston area. Haven't missed a Patriots game since I was about 5 years old. Watched every game humanly possible. Spent a lot of money at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tennessee over the last 9 years because not every game is nationally broadcast.
I don't know, like, we're pretty lucky that they're so good because the fact that they are so good is that they're on national TV probably 10 times a year at minimum.
Oh, yeah, I was able to watch more games at my dad's house last year than I thought I would. I mean, there was only probably about 4 or 5 games that I had to really go out of my way and try to find it last year. We've been really blessed. I mean, you're how old, too? You're a lot younger than I am, so you didn't have the lean years.
Yeah, I'm 24.
Yeah, screw you.
The first Patriots year that I remember really, really following them was the 2002-2003 season.
I hate you so much. I grew up with Steve Grogan in a neck brace, like, for half my childhood.
Yeah, I started right when it got good, and I've seen pretty much this entire run. And, you know, people are like, oh, is Brady your favorite player, or... You know, is Julian Edelman your favorite player ever? Willie McGinnis, man. Let's get something straight. I'm not that young. Willie McGinnis and Ty Law were my boys when I was a kid. I love those.
Those are fine choices. Those are fine choices.
I still have a Willie McGinnis jersey that when I was 6 years old, it was like a dress on me. Now it actually fits me. But I've held on to that since I was probably around that age.
See, I'm a Brady guy just because he's our Lord and Savior. But I actually have a Brady jersey that I bought his rookie year. I sleep in football jerseys, and it's literally the number has worn off, and you can faintly tell the name on the back, and I just sleep in it. Like, you know, I obviously rotate, like, because I sleep in football jerseys because they breathe, whatever, I'm weird, you know.
Yeah.
Get on me, whatever. But it's so worn out because it's 18 years old now, and it still fits.
Yeah.
I knew when Bledsoe got hurt, when Mo Lewis hit him, I'm just like, this is the dude. This is the dude. And there was rumblings about him that summer in training camp. And no one hated Drew Bledsoe more than I did, because anyone got within 5 yards of him and he turned into a statue and he just drove me nuts. No Boston athlete ever drove me nuts more than Drew Bledsoe. So when Brady came in, it was just like a light from heaven above.
Yeah.
And then obviously the last 18 years have been pretty good, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just
okay.
Pretty decent, yeah.
But we're coming off the 6th Super Bowl win, which I didn't think at all. Like, last season I thought Kansas City would smoke us. I thought the Rams would smoke us. But this is what I do.
Dude, I thought they were going to lose to San Diego.
Yeah, no, I did too. I honestly thought San Diego would beat us too. Like, I just...
And then once we beat San Diego, I remember saying to my best friend who comes over every weekend to watch football with me, once we had beaten San Diego, I said, all right, this team might have something. Maybe they found something. And lo and behold, you know, they get another ring. But this was genuinely the first one that I didn't see coming, which is why I think I enjoyed this one the most.
I'm a Sky is Falling fan, though, so I'm just like, we're playing with house money.
I've noticed that on Twitter.
We're playing with house money. It's all going to end. We're doomed. We have no backup quarterback. It's all going to fall apart.
You know, I just, that's just what I do. And you know what it is too? It's honed by being a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Because growing up as a Red Sox fan, when everything would fall apart, like, I don't know what to do with all this success.
Yeah.
It's really weird to me because for the first 21 years of my life, we didn't win it. Like, Boston didn't win a damn thing. So that was just like what I was raised on. And I was raised with stories of my father and my grandfather who didn't win a damn thing for 50 and 75 years. So I'm just told we don't win things. And then it's just been 18 years of just winning everything. And it's just a really weird feeling to me.
Yeah. And I can understand that a little bit because I've everyone who knows me on Twitter knows that I'm on Philadelphia Phillies Twitter, maybe more than I am wrestling Twitter at this point. And I've been a Phillies fan for even longer than I've been a Patriots fan. I remember being 3-4 years old and sitting on the couch with my grandmother watching Phillies games. I've been a season ticket holder for 16 years now. I've gone to about 20 games a year, every year since that time. And when I first started following them, the Phillies were bad. And then they had that run in from 2007 to 2011, and then they were god awful again. And now it finally seems like they're coming back up. So I've been through that kind of thing. I know how that feels. But it is nice. I think I put on Facebook the other day because the Phillies pissed me off just how much I missed the New England Patriots. So it's nice having the Patriots to lay back on when the Phillies piss me off every September.
Well, speaking of that, it's preseason time, and the season's only a little bit around the corner. What do you think?
I do have to be honest. I have not seen a single snap of preseason football this year. It's just been bad timing. I'm not able to catch games up here because, like I said, this is Eagles country.
Yeah.
So if I want to watch a preseason football game, I'm usually stuck watching the Eagles. And I don't like preseason football, man. I'm one of those football fans that think they should do away with it. I don't like it. Guys get hurt for no reason. You know, that one linebacker from the Jets who's great just tore his ACL the other day in a preseason game. You know, it drives me nuts. But I have, you know, I'm always on Twitter. I follow all the writers. So I know a little bit about what's going on. I know certain guys that are coming out of nowhere that are, you know, impressing some people like Jacoby Myers. And I've heard good things about Jared Stidham, which makes me happy because...
Oh, I'll like, talk to you about him in a minute.
Yeah, like you said, we're looking for the next year, you know. And I think I was definite that Jimmy G was the guy. And
my son, my handsome boy.
I thought that by now he would be our quarterback. I didn't expect Brady to play until he was... What's he, 42 now? 43?
About to turn 42 in December, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he makes the comments all the time about playing until 45, and I don't see it. Or maybe he does. Maybe he just does what every other NFL grade has done and finishes their career somewhere random. Like, maybe we get Tom Brady, the Cincinnati Bengal, for the last year or two. I don't know. Stoney
was joking with me this weekend that he was going to finish his career in Nashville, and I'm like, don't put that evil on me.
I mean, maybe it would be happy for you because you'd get to see him every week.
It'd be so bittersweet. It'd be so bittersweet.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You mentioned Stidham. I watched him in college. I went to the Senior Bowl. I was there on Saturday. He's fucking terrible, man.
You think so?
He's terrible.
I don't know. I knew that they weren't going to get Kyler or they weren't going to get, you know, any of the other marquee quarterbacks that were in this draft class. So I knew we were looking at a project, and I thought of all the project quarterbacks, I thought he was the best one for us. He's got a really good arm.
He doesn't know where he's throwing it.
Yeah, but he's confident enough that I think with refining, and you know that they can mold him, because that's what Belichick did with Brady. I don't think Tom Brady, the GOAT, was necessarily born. I think he was kind of manufactured in a way. I don't know. I'm not saying that Jared Stidham's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's going to be terrible either. I think if he ends up being the guy, I think we might be all right. I have more fears or whatever you want to call it about Josh McDaniels being our head coach than I do about anybody being our quarterback.
See, I have confidence in Josh McDaniels, and because I like he obviously wasn't a good, you know, coach when he was out in Denver or whatever. But like I just what he's done with those offenses has been, you know, nothing short of genius. Because Belichick isn't an offensive guy. I mean, it's McDaniels doing that with the offense. Yeah. And what he's put together with basically spit glue and you know, thumbtacks basically has been amazing. Because, you know, when everybody talks about, oh, Brady's a system guy. Brady's been basically throwing to me and you, you know, for three quarters of his career. He's had a couple receivers here and there, but honestly and truly, most of his receivers have sucked out loud.
And even more than that, he has had how many different offensive coordinators in his career? Mm-hmm. And how many different, like, we see it every year because the Patriots win every year. There's this poaching exodus that, you know, goes to other teams after they win.
Flores got this year.
Yeah. So, you know, he's losing coordinators almost every single year. And maybe with those guys, it's a completely different system. Or maybe it's kind of the same with some tweaks here and there that he still has to learn, you know. Those plays and everything don't just materialize out of nothing. You know, Tom still has to learn them and you know when to get the ball out and know where to get the ball out. And if I can't get the ball here, I got to go here and then here and then here and so on. I think people really make playing quarterback out to be a lot easier than it actually is. And I think that lends to Tom actually being as good as we think he is and not a system quarterback.
Yeah, there's only, you know, five or six quarterbacks now, and it seems to be that old guard of guys who actually go through their progressions and hit their fourth read and hit their third read.
Yeah.
And everyone else kind of goes to their first read, and then they just tuck and run. And Brady's not that guy. Brady will go to his third or fourth read, and, like, you know, and Breeze does it, and Rodgers does it, and then that's the list, basically, you know? And then everybody else is just, boom, you know, tuck the ball and run. And then that's what makes him different, in my opinion.
Well, a lot of that, too, is the college-type offenses that teams are running nowadays, too, where it's, you know, you have one, maybe two reads, and then if you don't if they're not open, you go either to, like, an RPO or, you know, the quarterback, like you said, just kind of takes off. We see that with Mahomes. I think Mahomes is, like, the perfect quarterback in that kind of offense, and that's why Kansas City is going to be so good forever. And it really pains me to say it because I hate Andy Reid, but... You know, that's another conversation entirely.
One thing that scares me is who's catching the damn ball.
Well, we do have a young man named Gunner, who I happen to like very, very much because we happen to share a very, very rare last name. And I wanted to be good. I think I mentioned it to you that just because... You know, I want to get a personalized jersey for, you know, half the price. But, you know, we got Josh Gordon back. Donshell Inman unfortunately got cut released today or something. But we have Josh Gordon back. You know Edelman's going to get his, you know, 90 to 100 catches.
Braxton Berrios.
I love him, too. Wasn't he a Miami guy?
Yeah, he played at the U. Was Julian Edelman at the U.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And James White, I think, is like maybe the most underrated player in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely nobody talks about him, and he is incredible. So I think we're going to be all right.
Tight end scares me.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many offenses nowadays really even use their tight end as a receiver?
Except that we have for the last 10 years because we had Gronkowski.
Yeah, but, I mean, how often was he healthy? I mean, you hate to say that about the guy, but really, how often was he healthy? And even there were a ton of games that he was out there, but he was basically a decoy. You know, he wasn't healthy enough to actually get hit.
That's fair. That's entirely fair.
There was that Hernandez guy, too. I don't know if we want to talk about him. But
oh, yeah, my favorite. Actually, he was my favorite Florida Gator.
He was my favorite player. I liked him more than Gronk. I liked him more than Brady.
Which says everything about our judgment, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Benoit is my favorite wrestler of all time, too.
Jesus Christ.
I have really bad taste.
I feel great about the defense.
Yeah, I'm not... Really not worried about them at all. I love that Jamie Collins is back. I only wish that we could get Chandler Jones back, get the whole gag back together.
Chandler Jones is killing. He's so good. But no, I love Jamie Collins coming back. I love the defensive backs. Stephon Gilmore might be the most underrated defensive player in the league. That guy graded out better than any cornerback in the league by most metrics. And he just goes out there and he just shuts down. I mean, he's got like a Deion Sanders ability to shut down a side of a field. Obviously not Deion, but he's just like he just especially the second half of the season last year. The first half of the season he was a little shaky, but the second half of the year last year, he was automatic.
Yeah, he was bar none the best cornerback in football, probably the last 10 weeks of the season last year, including the playoffs. He was just they at the end of it, they didn't even throw at him because there was no chance. I think he might really be the best cornerback in football. I love Patrick Peterson to death, but he's getting up there in years, and I don't know if he's the same guy anymore.
And he's suspended for 6 weeks.
Oh, is he?
I think he is, yeah.
Even better. I love Stephon Gilmore. He's on my jersey shortlist if I get a new one this year. I don't know if I will, though.
Yeah, the defense looks real good. I mean, the defensive line, I mean, that's the thing with the Patriots is that, like, guys like Lawrence Guy and guys like that just step up. You know, people that no one's heard of, they just step up and plug in and play. And they find these guys and they just grade out really, really high and they perform their job. And look at the job that the defense played against that crazy high-scoring Rams offense in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
Belichick had McVay completely dumbfounded. That was just – Belichick outcoached him. That was how he won the game.
Yeah.
And I tip my hat to Belichick a lot, but that was probably the biggest example of him and his genius, dark magic, whatever you want to call it. But he's just – that was a work of coaching genius that entire game.
One thing that kind of scares me a little bit is that the rest of the division has gotten better.
They have, but not good enough to unseat us quite yet.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But I just think that like somebody might take a game or two off us in the division and just kind of hurt our overall record.
Maybe.
Everyone drafted a defensive lineman, which is a little terrifying.
Yeah, but like I think on paper the Jets scare me the most, but at the end of the day they're the Jets. Like that is they're bottom five when it comes to like well run organizations in the NFL.
This is very true.
So I don't know. Jamal Adams too is one of my favorite players in the NFL. But I think maybe other than the Jets, I think the Bills might be interesting because I really like Josh Allen.
He can run, man.
Yeah, they need a running back because I think LeSean McCoy is dead. But they have a really good defense, like a surprisingly good defense too. So I think the Bills are actually going to cause us the most problems. I think we played Miami Week 16 in Miami again this year.
That always kills us.
You can already you can already mark that down as a loss.
That game's actually at home.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, so maybe we win that game.
Yeah.
But it seems like every year we lose in Miami. Every year we lose two of the first four, you know, and then you get the guys like Trent Dilfer that hit you with the, let's face it, the Patriots, they're just not that good anymore. That's going to happen again.
Looking at the schedule, a lot of those tough games this year are at home. The Kansas City games at home, the last Miami games at home, the Dallas games at home, the Cleveland game, which we got to talk about Cleveland. That game's at home. So a lot of those tough games, the Pittsburgh game, I think I mentioned, that's at home. So a lot of those tough games, and we don't lose at Foxborough. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So a lot of those tough games, and also the divisions we're playing the NFC East and the AFC Central are the two divisions we're playing. So you can chalk up, I mean, the Ravens game, that's going to be a toughie on the road. And that's a Sunday night game, too. That might be a loss. But there's not a lot of losses on that schedule.
I'm surprised there's not more people that think like me. Because I don't see how people think he's any good at all. But I cannot, like, I can't see any of the good in Lamar Jackson.
Are you kidding me? He's great.
I don't see it. I don't know what it is. I don't see it. I don't think he's good. I'm not scared of him. I think we can roll through that Baltimore team. Oh,
they terrify me.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like his playing style is something that's going to play right into Bill's hands, and we're going to be able to rattle him and get him confused, and he's going to be run for his life.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're right. I hope you're totally right. I hope I'm wrong, because he's real scary to me.
You think so? Okay.
He's That's, real scary.
I don't know. I think he's a very talented runner, and I mean, maybe I would take him over a guy like Stidham at this point, but...
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I really wouldn't put him, like, face of the franchise quarterback. Ugh, it would scare me.
So what are you thinking for a record?
I remember about 6 weeks ago when the schedule first came out, I said 11-5. I know that we kind of rotate like the 12-4, 13-3 years, but I think this team isn't as good, and I say this every year. So, you know, God knows if I actually know anything about this or not. I think this team is not as good as the Patriot teams that we're used to. So I think 10-6, 11-5 is where they are. And they're going to win the division anyway, because there's no team in this division other than us that can confidently win more than 8-9 games. So I'm not worried about the division or making the playoffs. I think the Eagles game in Philly is going to be a loss. I don't remember the other ones that I had. But I had like 11-5, 10-6, somewhere in there.
I'm at like 12-4 just because I think the schedule is real favorable. But I know where you're at. I'm at the same place. We're going to win the division. You know, first round bye, and then we'll go from there.
I don't know if they're going to get a first round bye. I really don't. Because I think Kansas City's going to be the top seed.
And then who?
I don't know.
Pittsburgh's worse. San Diego, maybe, and then who?
Yeah, but San Diego would have to be a wild card team, wouldn't they?
Oh, that's true. San Diego would have to be a wild card, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pittsburgh, I mean, the Kansas City, and then who?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, maybe a team like Houston or Indianapolis or wherever comes out of the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they end up a game better than us. You know, say we finish 11-5 and they finish 12-4. I don't know. I think that depends on Andrew Luck's health and a whole bunch of other things. I don't know. It's a tough call.
It'd be a good season, though. And we've had enough success. But, Steve?
It's going to be fun. I miss them dearly because the Phillies are driving me nuts. So
Steve, we're not far off, my friend. We're not far off. Well, plug your Twitter, my friend. I appreciate it. And where can people hear your ramblings on the Phillies and the Patriots?
It's 95% of it is on my Twitter. I'm not really in the podcast game anymore.
Yep.
but it's Gent on Wheels, G-E-N-T on Wheels. Just a play on the whole cerebral palsy thing. I have a really sick, twisted sense of humor. So be prepared for that, too.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it, man. Go Pats. And we'll try to have you on at some other point in the future, brother.
Yeah, I would love to come back. Definitely.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, my friend.
Every time I come to town, they be spotting me. In the drop Bentley, ain't no stopping me. So cash in your dough and flow to this fashion show. Pound for pound, anywhere you go. Yo, ain't no city in the world like this. And if you ask how I know, I got to plead the fifth.
Miami. Party music where the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break of dawn. Welcome to my room. Bienvenido
a Miami. Alright, now I have on my best friend, Seth White's. A native of Miami and the biggest Miami Hurricanes fan I know, and a Miami Dolphins fan. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Seth, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Do we have to talk about the Dolphins part?
I want to have that part on later because that's going to be real fun. Yeah, that's going to be a blast. No, I'm having you on because Florida and Miami are in week zero of the regular college football season coming this Saturday. And I want to talk some shit.
Yeah, it's about time Florida didn't chicken out and actually put Miami back on the schedule.
Well, we had to be ripe, you see.
Yeah, it's you know, every 10 years Florida decides that they can take Idaho off the schedule and put Miami back on.
You know, we still haven't played a non-conference game outside of the state of Florida, I think, since Spurrier.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Spurrier's second year. I looked it up to be exact.
And this just continues it because it's in the Citrus Bowl. Whatever. We'll take it. Whatever. I don't give a shit. And I think we're going to win on Saturday, too. I think we're going to beat you guys because I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be ugly as shit. Because it's a week zero game.
Yeah,
it's in August.
It's probably not going to be a pretty game. I'll agree with you on that.
But I think that our offense, and I didn't think I'd say this in the last 10 years, I think our offense is good. I think we're actually going to like score points. I mean, like,
not against Miami's defense, you won't.
I think we're going to score points. I think we're like, we were like 45 points a game for the last four games last year. It was beautiful. I didn't know what to do with my hands. It was amazing.
Aside from playing a Michigan team that played like high school players because they were all getting ready for the NFL draft, who did you play in the last four games?
South Carolina. They were good. They were factually good.
They had, who's their coach again?
Will Muschamp, he coached Florida.
Exactly. My point, how'd you guys do when he was your coach?
We had a good year once. He used to coach Florida.
I know, I brought that up on purpose.
It was the worst 4 years of my life. 3 years of my life.
Yeah, he was like the Randy Shannon of Florida.
He was terrible. He was absolutely terrible. No, we beat Florida State. They have good recruits.
They have good recruits. They also have a backpack that they give out when they get turnovers.
We beat Florida State. It was wonderful. It was glorious.
No, I you might have a good offense. Miami's defense is going to be one of the best in the country.
You legitimately think so?
It's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a 17-13, 21-14 game, something like that. I think the spread is like 47. Take the under.
Yeah, I think so too.
But Felipe Franks looked like a legitimate quarterback, honestly, in the last half of last season. And we have some good skill position players. And LaMichael Perine and Malik Davis are like maybe the best running back 1-2 combo in the country. I know we're missing four offensive linemen from last year, but like we can run the damn ball and Felipe Franks can throw the damn ball. And that's something I haven't said in a long, long, long time with a Florida offense.
Well, Miami has three linebackers that are now seniors that have all started together since they were freshmen. One is a preseason All-American, two are preseason All-ACC first team. Miami has four good defensive linemen. You're not gonna run the ball well against Miami. I don't care how good you think your running backs are. You're not gonna run the ball well against Miami. I'd be shocked if anybody except Clemson in the ACC championship game runs the ball against Miami.
ACC championship game. Look at you.
It's the Coastal.
You haven't won it yet.
If Miami doesn't win the Coastal, I will pay for the plane to fly or the Firemanny banner over Hard Rock Stadium.
This is first year.
Exactly.
It's his first year.
Pitt won the Coastal with seven losses. Pitt won the Coastal with seven losses last year.
You have a first-year quarterback.
Yeah, but he is not Malik Rozier.
He's what? He's not Malik Rozier.
Not Malik Rozier.
He's a freshman. He's a redshirt freshman.
He's a redshirt freshman.
He's one sack away from being Tathan Martell.
He scored a touchdown against Savannah State last year.
Oh, well, in that case.
I scored a touchdown against Savannah State from my living room last year.
You put Nicosi Perry in ahead of him last year.
N'Kozy Perry made 2 sex tapes, and that's why he got in the game last year.
Tathan Martell almost won that job. Can we just discuss Tathan Martell?
Can we discuss that he is being switched to wide receiver?
He is being switched to wide receiver.
He practiced since he lost the job. He's been practicing at wide receiver because his name is Tathan.
The Julian Edelman of our time.
Yeah, something like that.
Tathan Martell.
He did transfer again, though.
Wait an hour.
Well, you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. I don't think he can legally at this point of the season, can he?
Yeah, why not? The transfer portal is always open.
As we learned this offseason, everyone has transferred everywhere.
I think the transfer portal's still open. I mean, you know, you could always go in.
I mean, he...
You don't come out.
Is he technically the backup, or is Perry technically the backup?
I don't think they've said yet, but I think the fact that he's been practicing with the wide receivers might say something.
Who are your skill position players, too? I mean, do you...
I will go out on a limb and say Jeff Thomas is one of the best wide receivers in the country.
Okay. He was a hell of a kick returner.
He's also a kick returner. Punt returner, kick returner, wide receiver. Rick kicked him off the team at the end of last year.
I remember this.
Because he didn't do Bible study. Manny got on a plane, went to East St. Louis, saw the Griswolds there driving down the street, and brought him back. He was about to transfer to Lovie Smith in Illinois.
Oh, well then. That's an option one could choose.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think he really had many options out there.
But he's the best wide receiver in the country. So, you know, but he could have gone to Illinois. Do you want to walk that back?
Watch him play.
Okay.
Go Google his highlights, and trust me, he might be a little bit of a head case.
You're not biased at all.
Go watch his highlights.
Okay.
But he might be a little bit of a head case. There might be a documentary made about his high school in East St. Louis. He might have quit midway through his senior high school year also.
Perhaps.
But
haven't we all though?
Yeah, I mean it happened to me 4 times.
Exactly.
But
the OJ Mayo
when
plan.
He plays. He'll leave after this year. He'll be a first or second round draft pick. But they have a very good 1-2 running back punch. DJ Dallas, Cameron. Well, now I forgot his last name because he switched his last name. I think it was Davis last year. Now it's Harris.
You just go by Cameron like the rapper. Yeah.
Well, it's CAM'RON.
Like so the rapper. Cam-ron.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then Lorenzo Lingard, who was the five-star number one running back in the state of Florida, blew out his knee last year. So he's probably not going to play on Saturday, but he'll be back at some point. I will say this. Best 1-2 tight end combination in the country. The first team all freshman ACC tight end, Brevin Jordan, who was actually Tate Martell's tight end in high school, 5-star from Nevada, wherever Tate Martell, Las Vegas. And then Will Mallory, who's a 4- or 5-star tight end from Jacksonville.
Well, that's cute because our secondary is ridiculous.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Miami's got an
CJ Henderson's an All-American. So you can run routes as much as you want. CJ Henderson's ridiculous.
Well, I'm just happy now that Miami actually has an offensive coordinator. So, I mean,
not named Rick.
Well, last year when you had Mark Richt calling plays, and when he would call the same 4 plays, and then when the South Florida media would ask him about his plays, And he said, these are the same players I called at Florida State in 1993. And he said, that was actually his defense.
So you were ready for Mark Richt to go. Let's summarize the Mark Richt era, shall we?
He was better than Al Golden. he
baby steps.
He donated $1 million of his own dollars to build the indoor practice facility.
Bless his heart.
He quit instead of waiting to be fired, so there was no buyout in his contract. He had $20 million owed to him, and he just walked away. And he brought the turnover chain.
So all in all?
It was a wasted 3 years, but... he beat Florida State 2 years in a row. He beat Virginia Tech 2 years in a row. And he won Miami's first bowl game in 10 years.
Okay.
So I just totally spun that like a politician.
Are you high on Manny Diaz? Were you happy about the Manny Diaz hire?
I was shocked at first, but I will say this. Manny Diaz won the offseason. He wins in the media. And I've never seen as much energy in a coach since, like, 1980s Jimmy Johnson.
Well, that was cocaine.
I have no idea. I have no idea how he'll do when the lights are on.
But so is it cocaine?
Everything else. So.
Well, here's the thing. Our offense is good. We have an All-American defensive lineman in Jabari Zuniga. We have an All-American cornerback in C.J. Henderson. David Reese is a hell of a linebacker. We have way more talent coming back than you guys have. I hear what you're saying.
I don't know about the way more talent coming back.
We're 7.5-point favorites. Everyone agrees this. Everyone believes this.
Yeah, and Miami was 7.5-8-point favorites over LSU in the first game last year, and LSU spanked Miami.
I mean, here's the thing, and this is what scares me, is that we're not playing for another 3-4 years. The message boards and Twitter for the next 3 or 4 years, if you beat us, will be dogpile Miami fans on Florida fans. I will not. I will hear it from you for four years. If you guys win,
here's a question for you.
I'm terrified.
Hasn't almost the entire Florida team been arrested for domestic battery this offseason?
See, that's here's the big question, is that I don't know who's getting suspended, because Mullen hasn't announced who's getting suspended yet, and it's the great Florida tradition. It's like the Masters, a tradition unlike any other, where half the team gets suspended before game one.
See, that's why Florida stopped playing Miami week one.
Because the team gets suspended, and it sucks.
Yeah,
that's why we play Idaho. See, it's game one every year, because half the team gets suspended. So I'm shitting myself.
No, I did see somebody, a Miami fan, made something on Twitter, because I know Florida's been calling themselves DBU. But they switched it to domestic battery.
Stop.
University.
Stop. So I'm terrified, because we're supposed to win this game, and that's a dangerous position to be in. We're coming off a 10-win season. We beat kind of Michigan.
Kind of Michigan.
I was there. I was in the Peach Bowl. It was wonderful. Jeff and I had a wonderful time. It was the most fun I've ever had at a football game. And now we have Miami, and I'm just going to admit, y'all are dangerous. Y'all are dangerous, and I don't really know what to expect, because you got a new coach, you got a new quarterback, you got some talent. It's fucking scary.
Offensive coordinator that Nick Saban wanted.
It's fucking scary. You have a Blades on your team, you have an Irvin on your team. Michael Irvin's kid's on the team, right?
Yeah, he's the third string tight end.
God damn it. That's good karma. That's good karma.
Al Blades Jr. is he'll start in the secondary.
God damn it. This is giving me bad vibes.
The fourth Blades to play for Miami.
That's awesome. That's good karma.
His father, rest in peace, Al Blades Sr.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died in a car crash.
Oh, shit.
About 15 years ago.
Shit.
Yeah, that's messed up. He was Benny and Brian Blades' younger brother, but he played at Miami 13 years after them. Because they played in Miami in 86, 87.
Yeah. It seems like there's been a Blades on the team forever.
Yeah, because they were there in the mid-80s, and then Al Blades Sr. was there in like 98, 99, 2000, and his son's on the team now.
Well, I just have to believe in Felipe Franks, and that's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. He was really good at the end of the season. He was really good. And Kadarius Toney, Percy Harvin Jr., second coming of Percy Harvin, Kadarius Toney. Dude, just watch him on the field, man. He's real good.
Didn't he have like 8 catches last year?
Shut up. He's real good. He's real good. We got to find a way to use him.
Wait a minute. We haven't talked about Miami's punter yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're getting that deep. We're going real deep in the woodshed here. Okay. Go on.
You don't know the story of Miami's punter?
What's the story about Miami's punter?
Google him right now, Lewis Headley.
Just tell me.
The tatted up former Australian.
Oh, I'm seeing a picture of him now. Yeah.
Yeah, see?
He has a mustache.
He's like 27. he was a construction worker in Australia.
As one does.
And an Australian rules football player. And played like 1 or 2 years of JUCO football.
Your kicker's name is Bubba. That's an amazing kicker name. Bubba Baxa. That's an amazing kicker name.
Yeah, he's from Texas. He's Miami's field goal kicker.
Well, our punter's an All-American. Tommy Townsend's legitimately like an All-American punter.
Yeah, but our punter could like
fight him.
Kill your punter in a fight.
That's probably factually true. But our punter's better at actually like doing his job.
That's fine. Our punter could play middle linebacker.
He could get drunk and fight people. It's always a good skill to have.
Would look better with the turnover chain on.
Drinking a Foster's. All right, this game scares me. So let's move on to like something that makes me feel better. Let's talk about the Dolphins.
You know that I want them to go 0-16 2 years in a row, right?
Is that what we're going for here? Okay.
Yeah, I want them to draft Tua and then draft Lawrence.
Oh, is that okay? All right, that's the plan.
Yeah, so I mean, one of them has to be good.
No, Trevor Lawrence is going to the XFL.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
Yeah. No, Vince is getting him. It's Vince's master plan.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter what the Dolphins do. They will draft Deion Jordan's son. Who is, if he has one, is 4 years old, but they'll draft the rights to Deion Jordan's son.
So do you have anything to look forward to this year on the Dolphins? Do you have any, like, is there any, like, sign of hope or, like, you know, I want to watch this kid develop or, like, you know, yes. This guy? Who?
Preston Williams, the wide receiver, they drafted him, like, the 7th round.
Oh, really? We're going that deep in the weeds here.
He said, for anything I have to look forward to watching, that's it.
Is he even going to play?
Probably.
Who's your quarterback?
The rest of the team's not good.
Who's your quarterback?
Patrick/Josh Rosen.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing. Why did you trade for Josh Rosen?
Because...
That made no sense to me.
I don't.
And it was like a second-round pick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was real stupid.
Because the Dolphins couldn't let the Raiders be the dumbest team in the NFL.
Who are you angriest at?
in like the world?
I guess it's, I was going to say on the Dolphins, but probably in the world, because it probably has to do with the Dolphins.
Stephen Ross.
Yeah. I mean, is he pulling the strings there, or is it, who's your GM?
Well, pulling the strings is what's his face, Tannenbaum.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Who did wonders in New York.
Yeah, he was so great in New York. That was a sound decision right there.
Stephen Ross, see, the problem with Stephen Ross is, unlike other owners, he actually cares. He just doesn't know what he's doing. So that's even more frustrating. I'd rather, if you're going to be horrible, I'd rather have an owner that didn't care and you suck. He cares and he doesn't know what he's doing and they suck.
So he's like Dolan-esque.
It's like throwing $1 zillion at Sue and like losing out on any other free agent you ever wanted to sign because he gave Sue a $2 zillion contract.
So you're actively rooting for them to lose?
No, I'm actively not caring.
Okay. So you're just sitting the season out?
We don't get any of the games here anyway. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to watch them lose because I fully expect them to go 2-14. No, see, that's it. Here's what they're going to do. To piss me off, they're going to go 6-10. So they'll get like the 11th pick in the draft and they'll draft an offensive lineman from Akron or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Like I'm because you're my friend, I'm sorry, but it's entertaining.
One day Tom Brady will retire and the Patriots will go back to sucking.
Oh, I know. I'm aware. It's going to happen probably in the next 3 years. The first half of this podcast is me and my friend Steve just like terrified over what's going to happen to the Patriots, you know, when he retires. Yeah, because we have no backup plan.
Yeah, I mean, aside from, you know, that 1 year when I still have nightmares of Craig James running for 200 yards in the AFC Championship game in 1985, you know, for most of my life growing up as a Dolphins fan, the Patriots sucked. So they'll suck again. I'm not saying the Dolphins will be good, but the Patriots will suck again.
It'll probably be like Josh Allen, like ruling over the division for like years and years, fooling all of us.
That really bothers me too, because in my formative years, I can't believe I just said that, the Bills were good. I hate the Bills.
Yeah.
Naturally, I hate the Bills more than I hate the Patriots.
Until we became friends, then you had a reason to hate the Patriots.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the Bills ruined my life from, like, age 12 to 17.
Talk about how frustrating it was to be a Dan Marino fan for your whole life. And see never see him win.
It was pretty frustrating. It was actually comical every year. Because
you're 40. You were in the prime of Marino.
Yeah, I mean, I started going to Dolphin games in 84, 85. And that was right at the beginning. And I went to college in 97. So almost his entire career. But it was comical. Like, every year, especially when they had that rivalry with the Bills, like, 89 to 93, 90 to 93 or whatever. Every year the Dolphins said, we're going to put an emphasis on the running game. We're going to get Marino a running back. And then they go draft Sammy Smith out of Florida State. And he ends up buying all the cocaine. And the running backs the Dolphins gave Marino is like the quarterbacks they've had since Marino. You should get $1 million for being able to name every running back they had under Marino.
Sorry, dude. I've got you in a mood. I'm going to put you to bed, like, miserable now. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's fine.
You're used to it.
I'll just go on Twitter, you know, read the news or something.
All right, dude. Well, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate it, Seth. Do you want to plug your Twitter or anything like that? Get wrestling fans to follow you?
I mean, I don't know what good it would do, but I don't even know what my Twitter handle is. I think it's Seth, at Seth A. White, W-E-I-T-Z. But, yeah, anybody wants to follow me for non-wrestling Twitter, they can.
Well, you are a professor of history, so if you want to actually learn some shit, Seth is the smartest person I know, and you're a professor of history in the state of Georgia, and you actually might learn something following Seth's Twitter, so, and a with very insightful political tweets, so.
I try.
No, it's true. It's true. And you have more followers than me, and it pisses me off.
It does. It does. I hold that over your head all the time.
Sure. I'm convinced you bought them, but whatever. What are you gonna
do? I have not paid for a single follower.
The Paul Lee treatment, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, thank you so much, and I'm sure I will see you soon.
All right, buddy. All right.